Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This morning's episode is entitled, The Day When Men Without Chests and the Destruction of Evil Ones by God. Long ago, I read a book by C.S. Lewis, in which he talked about men without chest. And in this particular book, C.S. Lewis talks about the chest as being the area of magnanimity. And he talked about how this future has been lost. And the story around his teaching of men without chests would be well worth your reading. So he talked extensively about what these men were like, and he talked about the cranial feature, that is, the head, and he talked about the narrowness of the chest. In other words, these were men who were lacking in natural manhood, in testosterone, and that which makes men men. Nevertheless, they thought themselves to be intellectually superior to others. But T.S. Lewis was a very gifted writer, and he had a very unique and visionary style. And he took down their lofty pretensions as to what they believe themselves to be. And then he explained what they actually were. The book of Isaiah talks about a day of men without chests. And the background for the book of Isaiah, of course, is one of the great 8th-century prophets of Israel. His book has sometimes been called the Fifth Gospel. And it has 66 chapters, and the Bible itself has 66 books. So Isaiah has a unique place in the Word of God. Now, the background or the historical context of the book of Isaiah is the Assyrian threat. Now, the northern kingdom had already become a part of the ruthless Assyrian Empire. In 722 BC, the Assyrians destroyed the northern kingdom. And so Isaiah is speaking to the people of Judah, or the kingdom of Judah, which we believe lasts another 100 to 150 years longer than the northern kingdom. And of course, the southern kingdom was subsequently destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. So Isaiah opens this lofty vision with a cosmic summons, because the people of God had left God. Isaiah opens with a cosmic summons for the heavens and the earth in verse 2. He writes, "Hear, O Shema, O Shamayim, O heavens, and listen, O earth, O for the Lord has spoken. I reared up children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. And so, of course, with the cosmic summons comes the cosmic indictment, and God lays out what his people have done, what they are like. And so in chapter 1 of Isaiah, in verse 18, Yahweh Elohim has summoned Judah to court because they stood in violation of Exodus chapter 20, which is the apodictic law, the Ten Commandments. Apodictic means law stated in the imperative. And so as a result, they have reaped the consequences of their disobedience. And so the Deuteronomistic curses have fallen upon the people of God. And so Isaiah describes in great detail the spiritual state of the people of God. Notice what he writes in chapter 1, verse 3. The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt or avon, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. Very interesting word in the Hebrew. I don't have time to go into it in full detail at this time. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel. That is to, they have rejected God with contempt and turned their backs on him. This is always the result of sin. When God is spurned or rejected, then the people of God turn their backs on him. They leave God. What, verse 5, why should you be beaten anymore? God is speaking to them. Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured or weak and diseased. Your whole heart is afflicted or languid, sick. And this, of course, is mentioned in Leviticus 15:33, Leviticus 20:18, Lamentations 1:13. They are grieved and wretched. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and bolts and open sores or fresh sores. Not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners. Right before you, laid waste as when overthrown by strangers, the daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in a field of melons, like a city under siege. Unless the Lord Almighty had left us some survivors, we would have been, or we would have become like Sodom, and we would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? So God has rejected their empty worship, their empty formalism. And God goes on to talk about the meaninglessness, the wretchedness of their worship. And here we have men without chests who are led by the flesh. God goes on to say that their hands were full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. So we have this famous verse, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, in the English it reads, they shall be as white as snow. The Hebrew has the understanding, they can be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Or in Hebrew it reads, they can be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured, a cow, by the sword. The mouth of the Lord has spoken this. So God goes on to explain to his people what will happen to them because of their disobedience. In chapter 3, verse 1, it reads, see now the Lord Almighty, is about to take, notice, to take from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support, all supplies of food, all supplies of water. Not only is he going to take away their food and their water, but we read in verse 2, God will take away the hero and warrior, the judge and prophet, the soothsayer and elder, the captain of 50 and man of rank, the counselor, skilled craftsman, and clever enchanter. I will make boys their rulers. Mere children will govern them. People will oppress each other, man against man, neighbor against neighbor. The young will rise up against the old, the base against the honorable. Now, I want you to see the compelling parallel that we have here, and that you and I today are witnessing the same thing. We are living in an anti-culture, a culture that is against itself. We're living in an anti-culture that is devouring itself because God has taken away leadership. And look about you, and for the most part, there are males without identity. We have men without chest who are ravenous, who only seek their own, who are merely involved in narcissistic self-interest, and who could care less about others. And I really want you to realize what God is doing when he judges a nation in this manner. In verse 4, once again, I will make boys their officials or rulers, and mere children will govern them. God, as his own protest against the sinfulness of his people, since his people had rejected him, God was showing them what life would be like if mere children ruled over them. In other words, men without chests, who care nothing for others, but only for themselves. So, they'll return to the Word of God and really listen to what God says and his Word about what he will do and how he deals with those who walk in disobedience. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22, we read, stop trusting in man, who has but a breath, his nostrils. Of what account is he? Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a blessed day.